Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Daniel. We are at the end of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12. I think I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again this morning. Every time I come close to the end of a book that I've preached through, I feel like I'm leaving an old friend. Because these books become very precious to me. I can remember the first time it struck me that way. I was preaching through Galatians. And I got to the final sermon on Galatians, and I didn't want it to end. I thought, would they notice if I started over at chapter 1 next week? So if you're back here next Sunday morning, we'll not be in Daniel chapter 1. But I'm hoping the words that we're thinking about and meditating on, really seeking to understand, will continue to reverberate in our hearts and minds, not only this morning, but in many, many weeks to come. From Daniel chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, I'm going to focus on verses 5 through 13. These are the words of God. Please give attention to these words as they are read. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who is charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be until the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in the linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times and a half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. This is God's word. May he bless it this morning. I did not know what a song of lament was the first time that I asked the question, how long, Lord? The question, how long, Lord, occurred to me when I was in middle school. How many of you were in middle school this morning? And you look at your world, and it may be a wonderful world where everything goes right, and I hope you never ask that question. For me as a middle schooler, I watched the church that I loved and was a part of, that I had always known as my church, fall into all kinds of trouble and difficulty. And I can remember people shouting in anger at each other in the narthex area before and after church because they had come to hate each other so much over differences that they had. And I remember asking the question in my mind, how long, Lord? The question came back to me a number of years later. After I had grown up, I had become married, and my wife and I were expecting our first children. And then came the day where my wife said, I think something's wrong, and we went to the hospital, and the doctor said to us, one of your twin boys will not live, and we're not sure about the other, and this is very, very serious for your wife. I remember going home to the nursery that we had prepared for our two little boys, laying in the ground and asking, "How long, Lord?" The same question came to me a few years later when a sin that I'd struggled with for a very long time became apparent. And it brought a lot of pain to me and to those around me. And it took a long time to work through it. And I remember asking the question, "How long, Lord?" Perhaps that's the sort of question that you come to, not just to this passage and not just to worship, but to life. Because there are places in your life where you see the pain and the suffering, the difficulty, the trial, and you cannot help but ask yourself, "How long, Lord? How long will this go on? It is the question the psalmist asks in Psalm 13. He looks around him at his life of trouble and difficulty, and he asks the question, "How long, Lord, will this go on?" And you'll notice in our text this morning, in the verses we just read, Daniel has the same question, "How long, Lord? How long will this go on? How long are things going to be this way?" In order to answer that question, I want to do the preacher thing and give you three P's. And the first P I want to give you this morning to answer the question, "How long," comes in terms of the promise that is made in verse 7. I'm going to read it again for you in case you missed it. In verse 7, it says, "And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever, that it would be," and here's the answer, "for a time, times, and a half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished." Now you may be asking yourself the question you've asked yourself over and over and over as we have gone through Daniel. It's the great question, what in the world does that mean? Well, to understand what that means, I've got to draw you into where we are in Daniel. And I'm not going to review all of Daniel for you. I'm simply going to tell you what I've said over and over in all these sermons in Daniel. And that is, the book of Daniel was written to people who are in exile in order to encourage them and show them how they can thrive while they're in exile. And so that's easier to understand in the first parts of Daniel, because there are all these stories that remind us that God is great and powerful, and he is always with his people. Shall we remember some of those? There's Daniel in the lion's den. There is Daniel and his friends as they are faced with the question of whether to bow down to an idol. There is the burning furnace. There are all these stories that we remember very well, and over, we are taught to think God is absolutely in control and God is with us. Sort of the very thing that we learn in the New Testament when we read about Jesus. Our God is powerful to save and he has come to us in his Son. But then we get to the latter half of the book, and there are all these, and I mean this very respectfully, of course, because this is the word of God, but there are all these crazy, crazy prophecies. And in the very last three chapters of this book, Daniel is given a very long vision. And this chapter is part of that vision. In the previous part of that vision that we thought about last week Sunday morning, thank the Lord for Pastor Jonathan, who was assigned the most difficult passage in Daniel. He explained to us in that chapter that Daniel is given by the angels the fastest and the most detailed explanation of what was coming in the near future for God's people as they lived in politically difficult times. There are warring political parties, and the question is, how would God's people continue to be cared for? And in that chapter, one of the angels says that great harm will come until the greatest contemptible person arrives. And that contemptible person we know was a Greek king who defiled God's temple in Jerusalem. That's a fact of history. You can go back and read all about it. And the angel prophesies that it's coming, but that's not all. He says, and when the temple is defiled, you will have a small glimpse into what's coming at the end of time. Where not only is the temple defiled, but there is great and serious opposition of God's people. There is, in a word, persecution. Just like we read this morning or prayed about Samina, there will be not persecution just in Afghanistan or Pakistan or Saudi Arabia or in Kenya. There will not be just persecution in limited parts of the earth, but there will be persecution throughout the whole earth. Until the question can be legitimately answered, will the people of God be wiped out? Will God's people simply cease to exist? And then chapter 12 opens with good news. And the angel says, no, they won't. Just in the time when it seems like we will be overwhelmed by evil, God will deliver His people. He will deliver them in power. He will deliver them in an astonishing way. You have no reason to fear. God has not left you or abandoned you. When you see the kind of opposition to the Christian faith that may drive you to your knees and say, how long, Lord? You do not need to worry. God is absolutely in control. Which brings us to this morning's text. Because Daniel does not find that assuring. There's a hanging question, and it's the same question. How many of you have a birthday in the next couple of weeks? If you're a young child, and even if you're 48 years old, when it comes close to your birthday, you start counting down the days, don't you? How many more days until I turn 10? How many more days till I turn 49? It's quite a number. It's not until December 16th. But you start counting down the days, trying to figure out how long is it going to be? How much time is left? And Daniel has that question. It is not enough for him to hear from the angel. God will deliver. God will protect. It sounds like an empty promise. And he wants to know, and when is that going to happen? Which leads to the promise that I said helps us to understand how long. In verses 5 through 7, Daniel sees two more angels. Remember, he's standing on the Tigris River. And there is one who is upstream and there is one who is downstream. I'm not sure if God intends that the upstream should be talking to the downstream like the flowing of water is the flowing of time. I'm not sure. But one asks the question and the other one answers the question. The one upstream asks the question. The one downstream answers the question. The one who is upstream asks the question, how long shall it be until the end of the wonders? How long until these things take place and they're finally over? How long till we have relief? And the answer is given by the other angel who raises his hands like this. And it's not because he was a pastor at the end of the service giving his blessing to the people. Why does he raise his hand? Because when you're in court, you raise one hand to swear that you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And the angel in this case is raising both hands to say this is doubly true. You have no reason to doubt or to fear that this is absolutely positively true. He says, I will give you the most reliable answer you can ever imagine to the question of when all of this will be over. He says it will be for a time, it will be for two times, and it will be for a half a time. And when those times are over, then there will be the shattering of the power of the holy people that will come to an end and all these things will be accomplished. Now you might listen to that and say, that's oddly not reassuring to me because I don't know what a time, two times and a half a time is. So when I call out to God as Daniel is doing and how long, Lord, not knowing what a time, two times and a half a time is, does not give me the answer I'm looking for. Let me help you perhaps. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, if you have your Bibles, you might go back there. You will see this is not the first time that we read about this length of time. There we are told that the Antichrist will wear out the holy ones of the Most High, and they shall be given into his power for a time, for two times, and for half a time. So that the angel in chapter 12 here is really calling to memory what is said in chapter 7, verse 25. And in chapter 7, verse 25, and here in chapter 12, what we are being told is that rather than referring to a time that is long and complete, we are talking about a time that is much shorter. Half that, it is more brief, and it will certainly come to an end. It's a little bit like this. We measure a week in 7 days of time. And here he's describing, well, the period we're talking about is half that length. Again, I'd suggest to you, if you're somebody who feels like the weeks rush by, a half a week rushes by even quicker. And the angel is telling Daniel about that. He is saying the time in which the answer to your question, how long will the persecution last, that time is relatively short and it is limited. He connects it to the shattering of the power of the holy people. The very thing that the angel talked about in the previous chapter. That is, it will seem like the power of God's people, the church, that power will be shattered. It will be ruined. We'll be left asking the question, is the church even a viable entity anymore? Does anyone care about the church? Does the church really even have the ability to last? Now, if I can just pause for a moment, of course, I can pose that question to you today. Is anyone asking that question? Is the church viable anymore? Will it last? Does it have a future? Maybe in some parts of the world, they're asking that question. Even in the United States, as we see the rate of church attendance begin to plummet, evangelical Bible-believing churches still have many people in them. And so it would seem apparent to me that what Daniel is talking about here, the angel is describing to Daniel, is a period of time that he says is yet to come. When it comes, we do not know, but there's a period yet to come in which sitting in a church like this will seem very exceptional, where it seems like a tremendous privilege, where you will think back to yourself over all those weeks you had the opportunity to worship and you did not take advantage of them, and you will say to yourself, I regret what I gave up. It reminds me of what Jesus says in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. He says, at that time, there will be great suffering, such as not been since the beginning of the world until now. No, and never shall be again. And if those days had not been cut short for the sake of the elect, no one would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. What is Jesus saying? He's saying the same thing that the angel is in chapter 12 of Daniel. He is making clear to us that God will prevail, that there will be difficulties that will come that will be difficult and severe, but they will not last. The power of the church will appear to be shattered. No one will wonder. No one will wonder whether the church is a great social force anymore, because it will be obvious to everyone it is not. But in that moment, even if it doesn't strike you this morning as that significant, and you may be tempted to forget it, can I ask you to store this away in your mind? Stick it back in there. Keep it on a shelf somewhere that is inscribed with important things to remember. Whether it's in our lifetime, the life of our children, or a number of generations in the future, make it positively a matter of memory, individually and corporately, that when the Church of Jesus Christ appears to be weak, almost non-existent, the power of the church is shattered. It is not at that point that God has forgotten his promise. Do you hear that? God is not forgotten. That is the promise. Part of the answer to a how long that is being asked by Daniel is not to give a precise number of years. It is rather to point Daniel back to the reality that God has not forgotten, even in the moment of deepest despair. Consider that promise this morning as I drag you through verses 8 through 10. And I mean that because in those verses in 8 through 10, we have the depth of the persecution that Daniel receives as described to him by these angels. In verses 8 through 10, it says, I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O Lord, what should be the outcome of these things? Daniel says, stop talking to me in language I don't totally understand. I need an answer. Tell me what the outcome is going to be. You keep telling me that things will be difficult in the end. I want to know how long. You tell me that's not the right question. The question is, will God be faithful? And I've said yes. Daniel says, let me come back then. Let me come back to another question. He says, what shall be the outcome of these things? Tell me how it all works out. Have you never asked that question? In the moments when I cry out, how long, Lord? I want to know how it works out. I can even say to myself, Lord, if you just show me how it worked out, it would help my patience so much. If you just help me see, whatever the circumstance in life, how long this relationship will be strained, then I could endure. If you'll just show me how long work is going to be like this, I think I can make it to the end. If you just show me how long I'm going to be single and struggle to find someone who cares about me. If you just show me how long that's going to last, I could make it. But because I don't know the outcome of these things, I feel myself sinking deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Just show me how it all works out, and I'll be okay. The angel's answer is that we don't know. God has not given it to us. In fact, in some ways, the angel's answer in verses 9 and 10 is that you want to know how it all works out? Let me give you the harsh reality of what it will be like. He says in verses 9 and 10, the words are shut up and sealed until the end of time. Verse 10, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. He says, there is this that I can tell you about what's coming. What I can tell you is that God knows exactly what's going to happen. They are sealed up in His book. He is, as Daniel has emphasized to us over and over, He is absolutely in control. Nothing of this surprises God. But beyond the reality that God knows exactly what's taking place, He goes further to say, and you will know how things develop when you watch this reality take place. When the wicked become even more wicked and the righteous become purified. Now, of the two things that I just said that I might choose to describe, guess which one I'm going to focus on. I could tell you all the ways in which the wicked become more wicked. And maybe there are people here this morning or joining us over the internet who need to hear that. I'll just summarize what this means very simply. And that is, wickedness is never a status quo reality. You're never just going to stay where you are. If you give in to wickedness as a pattern of life, if you say, it's okay, it doesn't matter, I'll just do it, I'm in control. You know all the things you say to yourself? It's never going to end up like that in the end. It never does. You give that wickedness a foothold, it will take another step and another step and another step and another step until you are totally in the grasp of whatever it is that has you. Is that not your experience? But let me talk about the other parts. You will know that these things are coming to an end when the pure become purified. That's a whole lot more interesting to me at this moment, because I'm hoping I'm talking to many people for whom you consider yourself those who have been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your status is secure in Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, according to Paul in Romans chapter 8. But you will know that these things are taking place, the angel says, when those who are righteous are further purified. What does that mean? If I could just look at the whole scope of Daniel and think about the moment in which we are here as Christians in our moment in time, I would tell you, based on my own hearts and our experience as a church, there are a whole lot of things that we often mix with true biblical religion. I hesitate to confess your sin, so I'll confess my own. I confess to you this morning that I often try to seek my happiness in somewhere beside Jesus Christ. I'd even be happy to give you a list. I love my gun collection. I'm hoping this summer when I ride my motorcycle that it makes me feel good. I truly believe if I buy another piece of woodworking equipment, my life will be fuller. I look at my relationships often as ways to be served. Buying into the notion that is culturally popular, that really what we have to do is find self-fulfillment. If you find self-fulfillment, you will be happy. You'll be pleased. That's the end game. As I said last week, there's no difference between what you might see at the end of a movie and what happens in our hearts. I've just been searching for my true self. I'd like to say to you, that's only something that occurs out there, but it also occurs in here. I truly believe sometimes I just have to find my self-fulfillment. I often believe that the material universe is all there is. I can preach you a sermon about spiritual realities, and I do believe that. But how do I live? Often with the notion that the material universe is really all there is. Do you find your Christian faith often mixed with a whole lot of things that are not? Looking for your joy, your happiness, your peace, your satisfaction. Looking for fulfilled expectations in things. You could search through the 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 of the New, and never find commended to you the places you actually go to find your hope. That we live in this moment says, according to Daniel, there is a future yet to come in which every one of us will be purified even further. The wicked will become more wicked. And we can focus on that, and many of us are very good at pointing out how those things are happening culturally, but know the other side of the coin, and that is the righteous will be purified. And the question I would pose to you this morning is this: are you really ready for that? It might be very easy to point out the problems over here, but are you really ready for your own heart and life to be purified? Because Daniel says when that begins to happen, you see the end is drawing near. With that promise and sense of persecution in the future, I want to draw you to the third thing that is found here in our chapter. And that is the last verse. How long, Lord, is answered by the promise. That is God saying, I'm totally in control, I'm working. By the persecution, you will know this is about to come when you see the wicked becoming more wicked and you see the righteous being purified. And then the third thing he points out, how long, Lord? That question is answered by verse 12, and that is the perseverance that is on display in God's people. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. Verse 13. But go your way until the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Now, I didn't read verse 10, or verse 11, rather, what it says, where it says, there will be 1,290 days. And then he says, blessed are those that endure for 1,335 days. There's another one of those series of numbers. You may say, what does that mean? Let me explain it to you this way. The 1,290 days is another way of describing that time half a time, those two times. He's describing a period of time. It's a substantial period of time, but not without limits. And he says that's specific, that limited period of time, it's a ways, but you can do it. You can do it. I will put it in my language. It's a 5K, not a half marathon. He says, if you can continue pressing forward, asking the question, how long, Lord, listening to the promise of God that He is with you, He will keep you. And you can watch as the wicked become more wicked and you become more purified. Then you have this to hold on to as well as you seek to answer the question, how long? That you will be able to last just a little longer than the trouble that is coming. If the trouble is 1,090 days, you're going to last 1,335. I'm smiling, friends, because that's nothing more than Daniel saying to us the same thing he said at the beginning. God's absolutely in control of you. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you. He's going to keep you and protect you. His blessing rests upon you. What you are looking forward in the future, what you might be experiencing right now, is not some kind of random occurrence that just comes to you because you've made bad choices or the world is this way or sin has invaded our reality. No, this is God at work. And as difficult as the future might seem to you, listen to the promise of God to keep you to the very end. If it lasts 1,090 days, you will make it 1,335. He will keep you to the end. Or if I can just put it very simply, no need to worry. No need to worry. No need to worry. How many of you have that sense of dread about what lies in the future? How many of you pull up realclearpolitics.com, you look at what is there, and you think, not that too. How could this be taking place? All this is terrible. In those moments, think to yourself this little beautiful number that Daniel says, 1,335 days, that's how long the Lord has you. And the trouble only lasts 1,290. He's given the promise that He is in control. He has told you that it happens even in the middle of persecution. Here's what you can watch happen in your own life as the end draws closer. And here's the reality. He will keep you to the very end plus. Which brings me soul circle all the way back to why we started the series in Daniel. The reason we're in Daniel is because you are in exile. You feel, do you not? As a believer in Jesus Christ, though not everything is comfortable, it's not all the way it's supposed to be. You have that sense, as Peter says at the opening of his book, we are exiles and strangers, foreigners in this land. It's not a discouragement from being engaged in the place where God has put us. Be a great father or mother. Be an excellent neighbor. Participate in your culture. I'm going to maybe go over the line, even run for political office. But never, ever, 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 not even for a moment, think to yourself, and this is where my hope lies. Because an exile always expects a future that is coming. I'm simply going to tell you what I've told you, and the other brothers who have preached these sermons have told you for many, many weeks. Please remember, you are an exile, but yet you can thrive. How is it possible to thrive? Because God is absolutely 100% in control, and He is with us always, even to the very end plus. Therefore, when you cry out, "How long, Lord?" your God shouts back to you in the pages of Scripture, "How long? How long, Lord? How long? Until the very end, I have you, my friend. I have you, my child. And I will keep you. And nothing will ever truly harm you." That is God's news for us this morning. Let's give Him thanks. Father, what a joy it is to read in the pages of this book the reality that our God is not off there somewhere just doing something entirely different and has no concern for us as His people. No, Daniel has shouted to us over and over and over. No, your God is here. He is with you. He is in control, and therefore you need not fear. Lord, I would ask for every single person here, for the person who has been here the first time this morning, the person who has been here for many, many years, the person who is old, the person who is young, the person whose life seems easy, the one for whom difficulty seemed to pile up day after day after day, wherever it is we find ourselves in life, and we ask the question, how long, that you would give us this clear and powerful answer, that you are with us always. Oh, Lord, may we know that not only in our hearts and in our minds, may we know that in the deep recesses of our realities at 2 a.m. and 4 a.m., in the difficulties that we see around us and the struggles in our own heart. Lord, drive this truth not only to a place that we affirm it to be true, but we rest and rely upon our Savior Jesus. Oh, Lord, hear and answer this prayer we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.